Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Andy here. I went from depressed and suicidal to living a life of abundance and joy. If I can do it, you sure as hell can too. One thing that I used to do a lot, and I still do it a lot, but this was really integral to me figuring out women and male and female sexual dynamics and what it might be like to be a woman, what it's like to be a man, like all of that kind of stuff was when I was first really starting to work on my sex life. And I was meeting all these women, having all this sex, having all these great experiences was after sex. So when I was laying there cuddling them in what is called the afterglow, I would ask them questions. You know, I'd ask them questions about the nature of being a woman, about their life, their experiences as a woman, what they liked in guys, what they might think or what they thought it was like to be a guy, what they imagined being a man was like. You know, I would ask them questions of like, what is the hardest part or the most challenging part of being a female? And the answer to that question that I would get the most is having to make decisions. I would ask them how many dates they had been on, how many guys they had slept with, how many guys their female friends had slept with, what positive experiences they'd had in the bedroom, maybe some negative ones. I would ask them what in particular had made certain sexual experiences very good and what had made them not so good. And I would use all of this information, first of all, to satisfy my own curiosity, because it was always a really fun, interesting conversation. And again, I still have these conversations now to this day. But I would also use that information, or I've always used that information, to improve my own sexual skills as well. And I would slowly piece together my knowledge of what girls liked and what they didn't like. And obviously, everybody's their own different person. But I would start to build up a list of things that most girls liked, or a lot of girls liked, and things that they didn't like. In other words, I learned, I grew, I evolved, and I improved my own sexual and just conversation skills and my own life knowledge in it. And as I saw a woman more and more and more, you know, as we got closer and closer, if I'd seen her multiple times, I would start asking like deeper and more honest and more vulnerable questions too. Like I would say, what made you want to meet up with me, even though there's thousands of other guys that you could have met? What made you interested in me? What was it about me that made you give me your number, made you come on the date? Why did you say yes to sex? Why did you say yes to BDSM with me? You know, even though there's all these other people on the planet that you could have met, why me? And lots of girls would give me really interesting answers to that question. You know, sometimes they would just say, I don't know, you seemed attractive and you seemed nice and you just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Other times they would, it would be like more of a reactionary thing. Like maybe she had been with guys in the past that weren't very honest. And the fact that I was honest made her want to be with me or go on a date with me. It was literally just that I was the opposite of what she'd had before. And some women would date me or said that they had dated me because I was exactly like other people that they had good experiences or positive experiences with in the past. And I reminded them of an ex, or, you know, I had some positive trait that they like to screen for or that they look for in guys. And so I'd get all these really cool, interesting answers. And if nothing else, they were interesting, but they also on top of that helped me solidify who I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. You know, I got all this amazing, useful feedback and I could kind of listen to that and say, do I want to improve some of these traits? Do I want to double down on some of these traits? Do I want to let go of some of these traits that, you know, 20,000 women, not that many, but, you know, 50 women in a row have told me this aspect is something that they don't like in men. Do I want to listen to that? Or am I completely happy to keep doing that aspect and I'm okay with some women not liking that? And so it kind of really gave me this wide sample size, all this information that I could kind of use. And if nothing else, like I said, it was very interesting and I still do it to this day. I ask for feedback. I ask, why are you seeing me? I ask, what is it like being you? What are your hopes and dreams? What's in that head of yours? Tell me about your lived experience. Tell me about you as a human being so I can start to piece together, you know, some sort of map of human consciousness. So I can start or continue to piece together some sort of answer or multiple answers as to why are we all here or what do human beings care about. It's like a big psychological experiment to me or a big psychological study. And so, like I said, I would get some really amazing answers to questions as well if I asked questions like, what do you want out of dating or sex? Like, what are you trying to get out of this? Or what do you hope to give? Like, what are you trying to give me? What do you want to share? And I'd always get these really amazing answers. I would ask questions in the early days that I had no idea of the answers to. Like, I'd say, how many matches do you have on Tinder? And they would say, I don't know, like quite a few. And then I would say, do you mind if I look? And I would look at their phone and there'd be like 200 matches plus 5,000 other guys that had liked them that they just hadn't swiped on yet. And I would ask them, what is it like having that many guys like wanting to talk to you? And, you know, a lot of men who haven't had these conversations, if you're a guy listening or if you're a woman listening and you haven't had these conversations with men, we often have this fantasy of what it might be like to be the other gender or the other side. And we assume that their life must be perfect and glamorous and amazing and all of that. And it can be really interesting to ask questions of like, what is it actually like to be you? I'm going to let go of all of my assumptions and I'm just going to ask you like directly, what is it like being you? And, you know, you ask the question of what is it like having all these matches on Tinder? It must be amazing, right? God, I'd love to have that validation. Most women will say at first it's amazing, but it quickly becomes overwhelming. It literally becomes difficult because you're so overwhelmed and you don't want to be a bitch and just ignore half the guys that are talking to you, but you can't possibly reply to everyone. Then you feel really guilty that some of those guys are genuinely lovely human beings, but you just don't have time to message all of them. And the app makes you feel overwhelmed and guilty. That is the answer that I've got from most women that talk about dating, like online dating. They're like, I feel really guilty and I feel bad and the app made me feel bad and the app didn't. But like using that app, I felt very guilty and very overwhelmed. And I didn't know how to meet anyone. And so I kind of just met one or two people. I didn't have the best experience, or I had a decent experience. And then I kind of deleted the app and I was like, yeah, this is too much. That's the answer that most women have given me, but I never would have guessed that if I hadn't asked. And particularly in dating circles or when it comes to dating, most advice that people give, they will just sit there and guess stuff. You know, there's entire forums, there's entire gurus and YouTube channels and Reddit and websites and stuff where a bunch of men will get together and try and guess what women want or what it's like to be a woman. And then women do the same thing. They will sit around with their female friends and kind of gossip and just guess what men want or what men are looking for. And you see this everywhere. The genders will try and guess what it might be like to be the opposite gender and guess what they're thinking and assume and make a lot of false assumptions and get a lot of things incorrect or wrong. Instead of just going to the other gender and being like, yo, hey, I'm going to be completely open-minded and non-judgmental, so you can tell me anything, but I'm genuinely curious, what is it like being you? And so these are the questions that I've always asked, especially like I said, after sex, when you're cuddling in bed and there's that afterglow and you're both really chill and you're having a great time together, you're just having a cuddle. And I would ask all of these questions. I still ask these questions. What is it like to be you? I will ask questions like, do you like to be a woman? I will ask questions like, what do you think it's like to be a man? Tell me what you imagine it's like to be a man for a day. Or one of my favorite questions is, imagine you got to be a man for a day. What would you do? And the first thing that women say is they're like, I would try and fuck everything. I just want to try and like, I want to know what it feels like to penetrate stuff. So I'd probably like fuck a pillow. I'd go and fuck a woman. I'd play with my dick. I'd pee standing up. And then, you know, you can have fun and tell them what you would do if you got to be a woman for a day. And the answer is probably I would go and get a bunch of like vegetables and cucumbers and fucking toys and just shove them in my pussy and see what it feels like. And I would try having multiple orgasms and see what that feels like. And I would play with my boobs. That's like the, you know, it's funny that those are the answers that we always give, right? And I'd ask questions like, what does rejection feel like for you as a woman? And the answer is a lot different than you might expect if you're a guy. And again, if you're a woman listening, you can ask these questions of guys as well. You can say, what is it like hitting on men, on women? Sorry. What is it like making the first move? So you can say that question to women. Any guys listening, you can say, what is it like not making the first move most of the time? What is it like having to wait and be passive? I've always asked questions, you know, again, during the afterglow in bed, things like, what do you like about your body? What do you dislike about your body? Do you like your body in general? What are you insecure about? And even the most hot girls, in fact, I'd probably say hot girls more so, have so many insecurities that you as a man might just not even consider, you know, like so many women say they're insecure about their nose or their eyebrows. And the rest of us are like, or men are like, what the fuck? Why are you insecure about your nose or your eyebrows? And trust me, if you're a woman listening to this right now, you understand. You understand the plight of the fucking average woman and her eyebrow fucking concerns. But for men, we don't think about that shit. And then any women listening, you can ask guys, like, what are you insecure about? And it might blow your mind that the other gender often goes through their entire life. It almost feels like an entirely different life that they're living. There's an entire different world that you might not be familiar with if you've never asked these questions, particularly the questions like, what are you insecure about? You know, a lot of the time we look at the other gender or we look at people that we're having sex with and we assume their life must just be sunshine and rainbows and they must never have any insecurities ever. Lots of girls think about that or think that about men. They assume being a man must be so easy. You know, you never get sad. You're always just like angry and horny and you have your shit together and you're so strong and brave and courageous and you never get sad about anything. You never feel alone. You can just take whatever you want and you never have any problems and you never have any emotions and you never cry. And most men will listen to that and be like, what the fuck? You think that we have no problems? Are you kidding me? And then the opposite is true too. How many of you men listening right now assume that a woman's life is easier than yours and that her life must necessarily just be easy and sunshine and rainbows and, you know, maybe she gets insecure or sad sometimes and she has more emotions than men most of the time, sure, but everyone's nice to her and everyone gives her stuff all the time and she never has any problems. Lots of you men assume that. I used to. You know, you think that a woman's life is just unbelievably easy and she gets validation all the time and she never has any problems. And so asking these questions, like, what is your life actually like? It gives you so much in understanding and empathy, which absolutely, of course, helps with your dating results and your sex results because you have more intimate sex, you have more connected sex because now you understand the people or the gender that you're having sex with. It helps you not take rejection and things like that personally. It helps you see the people that you're dating or approaching and hitting on as human beings because you understand them a little better. It helps you, like I said, not take anything so personally. Other questions that I've always asked in bed, you know, after sex, and you can ask these questions outside of sex. I just have always enjoyed asking them immediately after sex when you're both chilled, you're both relaxed, and everything's, you know, nice and intimate. I will ask questions like, you know, how can I pleasure you better? Like, what do you like? How do you orgasm easier? You know, I've always felt like I've been uncovering this beautiful treasure trove of information that I was never actually going to find out unless I started actually asking women. Again, there's so much dating advice where people just like fucking guess and the person will be pretending that they're some sort of expert just because they've had a lot of sex or because they declare themselves an expert and they'll sit there and speak as if they're an authority and they'll say, I know what women want or I know what men want. Now, I've never asked a single person of the opposite gender, but I can guess based on like some stuff that I've guessed and figured out and tried. And yes, experience obviously helps a lot, but so does asking 50 or 100 people of the opposite gender. And they don't even have to be people that you're sleeping with. You can just ask female friends or male friends. You could go up to people on the fucking street, go up and interview 1,000 people on the street and you'll get a pretty decent answer. Obviously, bearing in mind that sometimes if you're going to do that, they might not necessarily tell you the truth. They might tell you what they think you want them to hear, but that's why I prefer saying it after sex with people that you've already had sex with because it's pretty non-judgmental in that space. And there's sort of an understanding that you won't judge them because you've just been inside them. You know, you've just had sex together, so you're probably going to be pretty non-judgmental. So that's why that's my favorite space to ask these questions. But like I said, there's so many people that speak as to what it is like to be the opposite gender, but they've never actually really asked. So I've always loved sitting down or laying there in bed and just asking these questions. You know, some more questions that you can ask if you want to. You can ask about sexuality, obviously what he or she is into. You know, you can ask if you're a man asking women, you can say, you know, do your friends judge you for being sexual? And how does that feel? Like, how do you balance wanting to explore this sexual side of yourself, but also not wanting to do it too much because then people might call you a slut or they might call you a whore or they might speak about you or gossip about you. Like, how do you balance those two things? How do you enjoy this beautiful, intimate connection, you know, that we call sex, while people are going to be puritanical about it and society might judge you for it. You know, you can ask similar questions to that, like, is it a lot of pressure having to be feminine all the time? You know, is it pressure having to be this agreeable, good, you know, pretty, sort of innocent, sweet creature all the time? And then you can, if you want to, talk to her about the pressure of being masculine all the time, or feeling like you have to be some alpha male who has his shit together and you can never show your emotions too much, or that's gay. You know, all this kind of pressure that men have as well. And you can talk about, like I said, some insecurities. What are you insecure about? What am I insecure about? You might find you have a lot in common with the opposite gender, even though you thought they're living in an entirely different world to you. There's actually a lot of overlap. You know, at the end of the day, we're all humans. I've done content called Women Are Just Humans With a Pussy. And you can talk about the male version of that. Men are just humans with a dick. We're all humans. You can ask questions like, what do you want out of life? Like, what are your ultimate goals? What would make you satisfied? And then kind of the flip side, what are your deepest, darkest fears? Like, what are fears that you've never told anybody before? You could say, what does being feminine mean to you? What does being masculine mean to you? And what do those two concepts mean to me? You could say, do you like taking the lead, or do you prefer when men do? Like, what do you like in terms of that? Do you like to be a little bit more submissive? Do you like to be a little bit more dominant? Do you like it? Like, is that different when you're with different people? Like at work, are you a little bit more of taking the lead because you have to be? Or are you just sort of hands off and submissive there? You could say things like, what do you find is the least attractive trait in a guy for you? What is the most attractive trait in a guy? What is the least attractive trait in a woman for you? What is the most attractive trait in a woman for you? You know, what are some things that guys... Do you ever have guys misinterpreting signals from you? Like, maybe you're just being normal and friendly and he takes that as a sign that you're into him. Like, have you ever had any miscommunication with that stuff? So you're basically just asking all these questions of, like, you know, what is your experience like? And again, the reason that I always did this was it taught me so unbelievably much. Stuff that I'm not going to get from reading, you know, Reddit and forums and books on what women want and all of that. None of that taught me anywhere near as much as just asking every woman that I slept with all of these questions. I got so much more real answers, especially if you preface it, like I always did, with a sort of statement of like, by the way, I'm going to be completely non-judgmental. You can feel free to say anything you want. Like, I'm not going to judge you. Like, there's no correct answer that I want you to say here. Like, don't worry about what you think I want you to say. I'm just like genuinely interested in your actual truth and like what is true for you. You know, I don't like lying. I don't like games. I just want to get to know you a little bit. I want to know what's in your head. And then you can share what's in your head too. Like, you can be vulnerable. You can be honest. And then that will help her or him open up and be a little bit more honest with you. And in these moments, in these honest, vulnerable moments, I would also, or I still to this day, also talk about things like, you know, the things that you're supposedly not supposed to say, especially not in a casual relationship. I would talk about like feelings and shit, like even from the very beginning. I'd be like, by the way, like, you know, if we continue to see each other, at some point you might get some feelings for me. I'll probably get some feelings for you. Like, you know, that's just inevitable when you spend time with someone, even if it's just casual. So that's cool. Like, you know, don't feel like you have to hide that shit, or you got to shut down or pretend that you don't like me or something. Like, if you get feelings or if I get feelings, that's cool. We can just like talk about it. You know, that's cool. Like, you don't have to keep that shit to yourself. And as long as you're happy seeing me and I'm happy seeing you, then we'll keep seeing each other. Like, you know, if we get feelings, that's cool. Like, aren't feelings nice? Like, why are they a bad thing? You know, people think that feelings are something to be ashamed of or some shit, or like you're doing it wrong, or something bad will happen if I get feelings. I'll be too attached. No, if you get feelings, that's cool. We'll talk about it. You know, like, I've had all these, or I have all these conversations about, you know, all this kind of shit. And basically, I've come to see over the last like 7 or 8 years of doing this, of being this open and honest and asking all these questions and sharing all this shit myself, I've come to see that most people are desperate for this shit. Maybe desperate's not the right word, but most people are so unbelievably open to having these conversations and to being this intimate, to being this real, like keeping it real. And not having to pretend to, you know, never let the mask down, pretend that you're perfect, pretend that you got your shit together. I really like the idea. I've always kind of liked the idea of just having these intimate, honest, vulnerable fucking conversations where you get to figure out the other person, you know what I mean? Rather than having to guess, you know, I have to try and guess what she might like in the bedroom. I have to try and guess what she's thinking and feeling. I have to try and guess what women want. I have to try and guess how to pleasure a woman and make her orgasm. I have to try and guess, you know, how often she wants to see me, how often she wants to text me. I have to try and guess if maybe she wants to move on and see someone else. I have to try and guess if she wants to keep seeing me. I'd rather just have these honest conversations and be like, yo, let's be real with each other. And if someone can't be real with me, that's cool. I just don't date that person, or I don't continue dating that person. And no hate against them whatsoever. It just isn't what I'm looking for. So if any of you listening are looking for those kind of deep, honest, vulnerable connections, those real connections rather than the surface level shit. And by the way, all of this absolutely applies to casual sex. You know, I've been having casual sex for the last like 8 years. Obviously, I'm in a deep, honest, loving, proper is not the right word, but like committed relationship with Imogen. You know, we've been together for 5.5 years at this point. But lots of the girls that we see is just, it's casual. You know, it's chilled, it's casual, but we have all these conversations and I make it clear to them like, yo, you can be honest with us. Like you can get feelings. That's cool. We'll probably get feelings if we like you. We can talk about anything. You can ask us what it's like to be a couple. We can ask you what it's like to date a couple. You can ask me what it's like to be a man. I'll talk to you about what it's like to be a woman. Like we can talk about literally anything, like anything. We can talk about our fears, our doubts. We can talk about our life goals. We can talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about. I've just found that that stuff, man, not only does it make the stuff outside the bedroom so beautiful because you really start to like each other. You start to grow. You start to have a positive impact on each other's lives. But it makes the sex better too because you're more honest and vulnerable. You can trust each other. And I've made this point a billion times. When you can trust your sexual partners more, like when you can trust that they won't judge you, when you've had some of these deeper conversations and built a bit of a connection, they can then, or both of you can then truly let go in the bedroom. And you can be like filthy and kinky and wild and crazy and just do like the most filthy, crazy shit together because you've been honest with each other. You've been vulnerable. You trust each other. So you know that they're not going to judge you if you bring up some, you know, really dirty kink, or you know that you can kind of just let go and become like an absolute demon animal in the bedroom and just like scream your head off and, you know, with like passionate moaning and just fuck their brains out and just give each other such wild, you know, unrestrained passion. And they won't think less of you because you've had all these conversations. So all of this stuff leads to better sex and obviously leads to better stuff outside the bedroom as well. So yeah, that is some of the stuff that I've asked and still continue to ask women and talk about in the afterglow or immediately after sex. And obviously, like I said, some of these conversations happen outside of the bedroom as well. And if you want to try some of this stuff yourself, you can just start with really small stuff. You know, you can be like, so what's it like being a woman? Or what do you think it's like being a man? If you could, or even start with an easier question than that, if you could be a man for a day, what would you spend that day doing? Like, what would you do? And you'll get some funny answers and you can kind of go on from there and you can tell her what you'd do if you were a woman for a day. And I'm sure the answer is probably you'd play with your boobs all day. I certainly would. So with that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, have a lot of fun with this stuff. Do it if you want to. Don't do it if you want to. Either way, I'm happy. If you would like more help with this topic or business or making money, losing weight, working on that spirituality shit, working on that peace and happiness and love and joy, whatever it is that you might want a little bit of help with, I am here. I am available. I offer coaching. There is a link in the description below to both of my coaching options. And there's a link to my video course, the Play to Win video course. You can grab that for $1. It's a $1 video course that will change your life if you put in the time and effort to follow the advice and the stuff that I have in there. As always, ladies and gentlemen, go out there and crush those goals and have a fantastic time doing it.